I want to bring to you tonight a message. We'll be having a meeting at midnight tonight with our lawyers and prayer meeting all night. Turn to 1 John. 1 John. Old Dr. Jeff D. Ray, my homiletics teacher in the seminary, said a preacher or anybody serving the Lord ought to know that he's saved, and you ought to know you know it. I give you about 7 or 8 reasons tonight. My text would be the last chapter and verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me introduce the message by saying, in order to be saved, there's not a better book to read than the Gospel of John. Just read the Gospel. It's the believer. It's not one of the synoptic Gospels or the common views. There were 3 pictures taken. Matthew took one, Mark took one, Luke took one, and we call those the synoptic Gospels, or a common view, even though one of them took a picture, maybe in a little different way, of the life of Jesus. But John, with his heart filled with love for lost people, God said, I'll let you write the believer's Gospel. And so you know what happened in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And then He comes into that 3rd chapter and has a man knocking on the door, talking about miracles, and Jesus said, let's talk about the new birth. And that great 3rd chapter, especially verses 14 through 18. Wonderful verses. If you want to be saved, read the Gospel of John. I know Romans 10, 9 and 10, and John 5, 24, 6, 37, John 10, 27, 28, but a lot of different passages. But you read the Gospel of John. Then, if you want to jump over on the shores of Noso. You've heard of Oso. I'm talking about Noso. I'd rather be on Noso than Oso. You know, most people live on Oso or something else, but we could Noso if you'll read and believe. And so I'm going to be in this chapter, in this book, a number of chapters tonight. Number one, the distinguishing badge of the Christian is a 4-letter word. A 1-syllable word. It's the greatest proof, it's the greatest announcement that there is. And so I'll call your attention to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we'll see the opposites in these 2 verses. Verse 14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love. And that's it. And the next verse introduces the devil's love, which is spelled H-A-T-E. Heap of difference. Now you get hate from the devil, you get love from God. Now, The Bible said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Have you ever tried to define love? Have you ever, somebody said, what is love? What is love? Well, the best definition, of course, I heard about a little girl one time, and she was getting grown, of course, and she was really, I mean, up to where matrimony had already sort of seeped into her little mind, and she was interested in a very fine young man, and she was in a class, and the teacher said, does anybody here have a good definition of love? And she was just fidgety as she could be, and she thought, I believe I've got the answer. And she stuck up her hand. And the teacher said, all right, Mary. Said, what is your definition? She said, teacher, it's that inward, outward, all overish feeling that you get. That's the best she could explain it. I mean, it's kind of everywhere, wasn't it? Now, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We live for what we love. No problem at all. If somebody loves, you hear a man talking. He's down in town. He's in the office. He said, man, listen, whew, I love to play golf. Oh, I love that golf game. Man, you watch him. He'll be out on the golf links pretty quick. You know why? He's doing what he loves to do. Never forget old Hugh Hackman and all my men over Second Baptist. They said, now, Brother Olaf, you need recreation. You're burning out. You're going too hard, and you need to relax. You can go out on a beautiful golf course, and you can just relax and forget all about the burdens and problems and hard-headed deacons and stubborn members and back. And you can, and I want you to know, old Hugh and B.Z. Zimmerman and all the rest of them, you know, they just said, now, so I said, okay, I guess I'll go. So we went out south at that, you know, and of course, that's back when the preacher got to do everything for you. I used to go to New England cafeteria, and Ms. Roloff and Pam and Elizabeth Ann, and we'd go down there, and it was half price for a pastor. That's back when we'd eat a tremendous meal for 40 or 50 cents. That's half price. Well, if I ever went over a dollar down at the New England cafeteria, I mean, I was overloaded. Now then, they tell me it's over $2. Huh? I don't know. I just don't. But I got out there, and they said, of course, I had no clubs. I didn't know a club from, I knew a club. I thought something you hit something over the head with, see. But they said, now, I'll take my clubs and my irons and the balls and the tees, and I didn't know what a tee was. I didn't know anything. I went out there, and I stood around, and I watched them. Now, you talk about a country ball on the golf course. I was it. I mean, I was just it. Now, I'd been used to playing ball, you know. I'd take a baseball bat and just wham and just knock it and watch it go and run my legs off around the base. But I got out there, and, of course, old Hugh Hackney and the boys, they wanted to be perfectionists, you know. And I'd stand and look. It looked silly to me. Old Hugh Hackney, he'd get it, you know, and he'd twist his feet, you know, and he'd stand. I said, well, Hugh, why don't you go ahead and hit the thing, boy? Let's go. He said, he'd take it and he'd twist his hands, you know, and he'd carry on and he'd just twist like this, you know, and he'd just come. And I thought, well, man, I'll go make a visit while you're getting ready to hit the ball, huh? Well, that's a waste of time, brother. If I saw you wasting my time, I'd fire you. And he'd get there, boy, and he had a little glove on, you know, and everything, and oh, I'll tell you, and finally he said, phew, and he watched, you know, and the ball took off down there, and I let everybody go first because I had to find out what they were doing. I didn't know. I just didn't know. I'd never been. And so they all teed up, knocked it, and it's supposed to go down. And so they said, all right, Brother Roy, I think you better use this club. I said, okay, hand me one. Just hand me one. And so he got in there, you know, and he teed up and put a little white ball there, you know. And I said, okay, I'm ready. And he said, sure, go ahead. And I said, let me show you. I said, no, I'll fiddle. I'll know how to hold him. I can hold it like I do a baseball bat. I said, boom. brother. I like to lost the ball. Listen, Hugh Hackney, BZ, and they looked, they said, man, said, how did you do? I said, nothing to it. I told it. Boo, hit it. I mean, that's it. Man, we went on around. I heard them talking about slashing, you know, and what's that other one? What? Slash, and one of them goes out of the way, and one of them goes out of the way. I didn't know beans about it. I just hit the thing and watched it go. I said, boy, that's good, isn't it? You know, they thought that was just tremendous, you know, see? Oh, the, you know, a lot of times I think a lot of our form doesn't amount to too much. Brother, I mean, if they'd have got out of my way, I could have hit 10 balls while they're spinning around. I don't know how I got off on that, but I know this. I know I'm saved. Yes, sir. I know people say, well, you know, I play golf on Sunday. And have you ever noticed how pious they look? They said, I can get awful close to God just out in beautiful nature. Oh, they said, on the Lord's Day, I just love to walk on the green. And I love to smell the fresh air. And I can get so close to the Lord. You know, I heard that stuff for so long, I finally got it one time, and I said, let's have a testimony meeting. And the people got to testifying when they got saved. One of them said, you know, he said, I got saved in a revival campaign, got saved in an old Burchard meeting, got saved in a preaching service, and I got saved. And a fellow came up, and he said, I want you all to know, I got saved on the golf course. He said, you know, I hit the ball at number 9 and said I made such a beautiful, said I made a hole in one. And I said, Lord, how good you are. I fell on my knees. Now, I'm just telling that. You've never heard that in your life. I've never heard of a golf course Christian that got saved in old sinner. You haven't either. You have me. Amen. Brother, you be done with a bunch of that nature worship. Jesus is my nature. Yeah. I don't want nature of a mountain or rain or a cloud. I want God's nature. Yeah. And I get it through Jesus Christ. Let me give you some reason. Number one, I love everybody. I love everybody. That's a miracle. I love the people that have hated us. I love the people that have been after. I love them. Love every one of them. I'd be glad to fix a meal for them tonight, put no poison in it. I'd give them the best bed I got, love them, visit with them. I mean, it's stupid to be ugly to anybody. Amen. It's a miracle to have love. I like to hear these girls say, I hated Mom, and I love Mom. You know, Jesus did that. I don't ever, listen, read that next verse. We got it right there. It's about verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You open your big mouth and tell me you hate somebody, and I'll tell you where you're going to spend eternity. And it won't be heaven. You say, I hate a certain person in that dormitory. Hey, I tell you what, you're a murderer. You know how to tell about the jail? I say, fellas, no murderer could ever go to heaven. You get their attention like that. And maybe some will speak up and say, well, what about me? I am a murderer. Well, I said, as a murderer, you cannot go to heaven. But if you get saved, you're a Christian, you're not a murderer. Amen. Then you can go to heaven. See? I tell you, it's wonderful to know that Jesus will save a murderer from murdering. All right. Now then, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. You don't hear this one mentioned very much, but it's so. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels or heart of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What makes you think you're saved as a tightwad? Huh? What makes you think so tight you'd crawl under the gate to save the hinges? There's something wrong with you. I tell you, dear friend, there never has been such an animal as a stingy Christian. You've never learned to give. You've never learned to live. What happened to that little fellow over there in the book of Luke, about 19th chapter? You remember, little old short, sort of fellow. He said, you know, I'd like to see that fellow called Jesus. To me, this was showing that he didn't have something he wanted. And his curiosity got the best of him. But he was like a lot of these people, you know, that kind of ashamed to come out here, you know, to people's church. I think we got a lot of people to come if they could just come invisibly. Yeah. People's curiosity, I wish I knew what's going on out there. Yeah. What's a strange bunch out there? And so if they just knew what they want to, most of them would come. And so he said, I tell you what, now, I wouldn't identify myself with him at all. I mean, I just wouldn't do it. I understand he's a fanatic, a Nazarene, and I sure wouldn't. I mean, I'd hate to get my good name spoiled, and after all, I'm a rich man. And so he took off down the street, found him a sycamore tree, and up he went. I think he looked everywhere, you know, said nobody looking, I guess I'll get on up. And he'll come right down this street. And he did, didn't he? He was right about that. Old Nicodemus got up there, and I think he kind of chuckled, said, he's never seen me. I mean, I get the best look of anybody. And boy, here come the crowd. And Jesus was walking and talking and blessing and having a big time. And he's asking questions. All of a sudden, the procession stopped under a sycamore tree. Old Zacchaeus said, I'll just sure be still now. Oh, no, he didn't say, hey, look up here at me. Oh, no. Boy, he just he'll pull him leaves over and limbs. And would you believe it? He heard somebody say, Zacchaeus, come down out of the sycamore tree. I must needs abide at thy house today. Oh, he said, I've had it. Listen, God reserves the right to embarrass any sinner. And he comes sliding down. Can you see the kid said, that's Mr. Zacchaeus. That's old skinflint. That's the man cheated my mama out of the rent. What you doing up there? Boy, let me tell you something. But I tell you what I believe. I believe Zacchaeus got saved somewhere between the limb and the ground. You know, he accepted the invitation of Jesus. Jesus said, come, Zacchaeus. He said, I'm coming. And down he comes. You know, that's about what it takes to get saved. When Jesus said, come, won't you come on? Why do you want to stand right here? You'll shake your head. Head in there with me. Old Compton, you know. Huh? Old Sherry. Oh, I played tennis with her, boy, this week, and she's some player, I'm telling you. Coming back, she said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me, getting it, Rebecca. Thank you. You know, boy, that's different what she was when she came here. I'd have been afraid to ride in the same car with her. Brother, Jesus makes the difference. Well, Zacchaeus said, and Jesus said, I'm going home with you. And he said, yes, sir. Now, notice what he said. He said, you know, I'd like to give half my goods to feed the poor. He didn't even start off with 10%. I guess nobody taught tithing to him. I'm glad they had, because he was just giving 10%. He gave 50%. Colored man preaching one time, and bless his heart, didn't know too much about fractions like I didn't know for most of my life. And he said to his church, he said, you ought to give. And he said, you ought to give a tenth. You ought to give a tenth. One tenth. And he said, if you just can't give a tenth, give a fourth. Well, Nicodemus said, I can't give a tenth. I'll give a half. That's it. You know what? He got saved. He got saved. These penny pinchers, nickel nibblers, you never get anywhere for God. Listen. When we give all we have, we make ourselves available for all He has. If we give in the right... Now, the Bible said, if you see your brother have need, and you shut up your loving heart to him and said, I'll not do anything for him. I want to ask, how dwelleth the love of God in you, Buster? That's it. It doesn't. You're not saved. Love and liberality are two of the greatest signs of salvation. And he said, if I have cheated anybody, I'm going to give them back fourfold. Every time I read that, I get to thinking about Zacchaeus. And they were fixing a nice lunch for Jesus, and Zacchaeus said, you know, I just can't hardly wait, and I could make one little visit while they're getting ready, if you'd excuse me. Boy, he took all down the street, you know. He knocked. And little child, old shack of the house, little child said, there he is, Mama. He's coming for the rent. Well, she said, we don't have it. I know it, but he's not going to go. You might as well go to the door. And she finally went to the door. Zacchaeus stood there like my old uncle, smile on his face like a wayworn slop bucket. And he was smiling so big. And she wondered if it's Mr. Zacchaeus. He said, you know, lady, I've overcharged you. And I'd like to give you, I've overcharged you $50, and I've got $200 for you right here. And these little orphans of yours. It's such a joy to do this. I might have little kids come crawling out from under the bed and said, is that really Mr. Zacchaeus? Don't you imagine, she said, Mr. Zacchaeus, this must be from the Lord. He said, it is. I met him while up the sycamore tree. Oh, listen. Don't you know he spread a lot of joy? Yes, dear friends, liberality and love. Let's go on. There's another reason. It'll be 1 John chapter 3, and it'll be verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. A man that's saved got a different spirit. He got a new spirit. He has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has him. You know when the Holy Spirit comes in a person? When he gets saved. Amen. Don't try to twist it around any other way. That's the truth. The Holy Spirit comes in, and that's the reason he seals you, and he keeps you, and he blesses you, and he feeds you, and he reveals, and he takes care of you. And if the Holy Spirit were to leave me right now, I could never preach again. My joy would be gone. I couldn't sing with the Spirit, couldn't pray in the Spirit, couldn't preach in the Spirit, couldn't do nothing. Did it ever dawn on you that Jesus is not in the world today? Did it ever dawn on you, boys, that God is not in this world today? You've never seen God down here in our church, and you've never seen Jesus walk up in this platform. But I tell you what, you've seen the Holy Spirit do His office work. Amen. Now, He's the only God there is in the world, and if you shoot Him out of the saddle, you're done for. Amen. Any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. None of His. Oh, the Spirit of Christ. Daniel had a wonderful spirit, and you read through the Bible and find the people that had the Spirit of the Lord. All right. Number 4. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll read from 1 to 5. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, I tell you, this came to me this week. We have an advocate. Supreme Court may not hear me, but the advocate will. Texas. Can you imagine? The two highest courts in America said, we haven't got time for you, son. It's not of enough magnitude. We do not consider it the kind of question that we'd want to occupy our time. That seems strange, doesn't it? You mean, and of course, Mr. John Hill said, the only thing I'm interested, Brother Roloff, is doing a great work. The only thing I'm interested in is the health and safety and sanitation of the homes. And as I said today, that left him exactly nothing to worry about. I tell you what those boys want. They want 100% government control. He said in the paper I read a while ago, I want our representatives and inspectors to come out and walk in the church and say, I just wonder if you're doing it to suit me. It may not be, because you don't know who I know. I'm not trying to suit a bunch of people. That program is 100% failing. And every time they get their hand on and want us to do the same, it'll never be. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Chapter 2, verse 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that said, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandment, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. I want you to see this great truth. The way to have God's love perfected in you is to let His word be perfected in you. Sit around and read the newspaper and the New York Times and the Street Journal, you know, all that kind of... Listen, we'll never have the love of God perfected in us without the Word of God being... You girls might as well make up your mind. You'll never be worth 10 cents. You won't stand the water, God's son, when you get home if you don't have the Word of God in your heart. Oh, I know you say, well, I hope I'm going to stand, and I'll sure try. Your trying is not worth 10 seconds or 10 cents until you get the Word of God in you. Now, let's go on. There's another reason. Verse chapter 2 and verse 19, 20, and 25. They went out from us. That's one way you can tell where you stay or not. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. First service, it's because you got a beer joint heart. You'd rather shoot dope than to live in the Bible of hope. It's because you don't know Jesus. You'd rather listen to rock and roll. And I tell you what, boys, this is some deal here. Petition for National Elvis Presley Day. I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, they can have it when they get to hell, but I don't have it down here. You listen to this silly junk. Got room for signature. By signature below, we the undersigned hereby request consideration and instigation of a National Elvis Presley Day. We feel that his birthday, January the 8th, should be set aside as a day each year to honor and remember Elvis Presley, the man, the entertainer, the legend. He has a place in the history and shaping of the United States. Now, they ought to put miss on that shape. He did more to misshape this country than any man I know of. That thing, I'm telling you the truth. Bunch of unspiritual nuts. Can you imagine? A man that died a dope addict with a broken home, was immoral and sinful and sorry, and they want to make a legend and fix him up as a saint. That's of the devil. You say, well, I don't think you ought to say... I've already said it, Buster. Listen, if you knew how much rock and roll had robbed the purity and put those little girls and these little girls in a sorry, stinking bed with dope and filth and venereal disease and immorality and the heartache that they went through, and it started when they listened to that sorry rock music. Why, I'd rather have 14 pot-bellied rattlesnakes from the King Ranch in my home with all the poison left in them than to have a rock and roll record. If you don't feel that way, get saved and see how you feel. Boys, am I right?
Yes.
Girls, am I right?
Yes.
I don't pay attention to y'all. Some of y'all too old to have good sense anyhow. Brother, they speak from experience. They've lived in fears and tears. Oh, listen tonight. You can't know you're saved as long as you live in sin. Notice what he said. They went out from us. They went out from us because they were not of us. He said if they'd been of us, no doubt they'd have remained with us. Now then, let's go a little bit further. And that's in... I want to read chapter, verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You ought to know something when you get saved. Verse 25, this is the promise that He hath promised us even eternal life. Ask a question. Do you believe He'll keep His promise? Yes, He will. He told me, promised me, and so I have it. All right. Now then, let's look at 3 and verse 8. Let's see if this has come to pass in verse 8. Bible said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Has He destroyed the works of the devil in your life? I mean, do you have the same old habit? Have the same old ugly things taking place? All right, chapter 4. And we're winding up the message, chapter 4, and it'll be verse 6. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. One of the signs of being saved is hearing the word of God. Jesus said, I know my sheep. They know my voice. They hear my voice. They follow me. You know the way to tell where you're sheep or not? Figure out who you're following. Bible said a hireling they won't follow, but they'll follow the shepherd. And if we have the right kind of a shepherd, it'll help to have the right kind of sheep. You hear the shepherd's voice and you'll follow. The Bible said if you hear the word, it's because you must love the word. The last thing I want to say, 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, last reason, it's a good one. How do you know you're saved? How do you know that you got eternal life? Well, this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, how long has it been since you had a prayer answer? Well, we had one answered this week, didn't we? And we're going to have some more answers. Yes, sir. We're going to have some more prayers answered. I mean, I believe that every day we ought to pray, expecting, believing, and then not be surprised when we get the answer. One of the ways you know you're saved, have you prayed for your mother? Some of you girls said, mother got saved, brother got saved, and people got saved. That's because you've been praying for them. The Lord hears and answers prayer. My confidence in Jesus, oh, it grows stronger every day. His grace I find sufficient to keep me in life's way. When I am sad and lonely, oh, He is a friend indeed. He gives me grace and comfort in every time of need, and He loves me. He's living in my heart. He loves me. He never will depart. He loves me. He died for me on Calvary. And that is why I sing, He loves me. Let's stand together. Don't live in doubt. Doubters never turn out to be shouters. You can know that you're saved. You say, tell me, Brother Roth, let me give you some verses. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believing art God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight and trust him while we sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you, calling for me. Oh, see on the portals, can't you? Waiting, watching, watching for you. Is he going to see you come home tonight? Would you come right now as we sing?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you, stay on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved.
Hey, you are weak. Earnestly.
Somebody will pray with you. Somebody will pray with you.
And pardon, pardon for you.
Won't you come on?
Said, if you can't help me, I might as well hang it up. And she gave her first testimony tonight. And getting somebody to pray with her. Folks, somebody can help you. We're going to close the service tonight. And if ever there was a time I want everybody to do right, it's the next 24 hours. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. What we do the next 24 hours is going to have a lot to do with the future of all of the world.
Have thine own way, hey Lord, have thine own way, hey, thou art the path, and I am no man after thy.
Every head bowed, every head bowed.
Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me
me more of their beauty seen. Wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and there is none upright among men. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Thou wilt keep him in perfect his stayed on thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. For God is able to make him stand.
Life's minutes as they tick away. It could be a year, but then maybe a day. You go the hour when you'll make that scene. For tomorrow you could be riding that cold, that limousine. Then are you sure you've got time to wait? Come to Jesus, even if you have to crawl.
Bow our heads. There's something mighty sweet about
the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord.
It really
doesn't matter
what the people say.
There's something mighty sweet.
Good night, and God bless you.